Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Paige Bambushi Roethlisberger.
Hi, everyone, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour Pop Edition. How are you, Mom? What's up?
Hey, I'm doing great, sweetie. How are you? Everything's good on my end. How about you?
Everything is pretty good. I'm getting used to the fall weather. It's a little bit chilly today. And I was chilly last night. So I went to the FC Dallas soccer game.
Oh, okay.
And so I was very cold.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were outdoors. I know you had a blanket and a couple jackets and whatever. And some hot chocolate and some nice other warm beverage, you know.
You know what, man? Next time, you never know here because on the weekend, it's going to be almost 90.
Well, you know.
So, hey, it's cold.
It was only in the 40s when I got up this morning. Yeah. I think it's only maybe in the 50s now. I don't think it's up to 60 yet.
I checked Alexa and it said 60 on the dot.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, you know, yeah. Well, that, you know, that's still a lot cooler than it has been.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay.
So the next time we do the podcast, Mom, we'll have a different forecast. We'll have a bunch of forward in a couple days.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. All right, sweetie. What's up on your end? What's been going on?
Besides going to the soccer game, working hard and looking forward to the holidays coming. So I don't really have any.
Oh, they'll be here before you know it.
Yeah.
Be here before you know it. October's more than half over, and then you're staring at Thanksgiving, and you'll be getting ready to cook for the family, right?
Oh, yeah, you know it.
Okay.
All right. Let's tell everybody what we're sipping on. All right, so this is some whiskey, Ma. This is Saint Liberty Whiskey, which is Black-owned, and this is Mary's 4-Grain. So it's called Saint Liberty Whiskey, and this is Mary's 4-Grain. So you're going to leave
Mary's 4-Grain. Okay. All right, sweetie. So let's hold them up and toast. Here's to health, wealth, happiness, long life, and prosperity. Salud.
Salud.
Excellent. That's good. Let's kick to it.
It's strong.
That is excellent.
Okay, Ma.
It is whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, sweetie, what's been going on lately?
So, unfortunately, we have to start here again. I'm hoping that we don't have to talk about this person on the next episode. Kanye West appeared on Drink Champs, you know, the podcast with Nori and DJ Effin, and he made some false statements regarding the murder of George Floyd. And it's a possibility that Floyd's family may sue him because of the false statements that he made. A lot of people criticize Nori because Nori shouldn't have had Kanye West on Drink Champs. It was a bad platform for him, just a platform where he can drink and just talk all type of craziness and lies. And so Nori had to come out and make a public apology and said that he was sorry for what he said, for having Kanye on the show. And Kanye also made anti-Semitic remarks as well and a lot of other crazy rhetoric. So Ma, what are your thoughts on Nori having Kanye West on the show? Since then, I just wanted to say, since then, Revolt has removed Drink Champs. And YouTube has removed, well, that episode
of Drink Champs. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, good. That's a good look for them. Mm-hmm. Well, I think two things. The ideal situation would have been to do something preemptive, which would have been to just not have him. Mm-hmm. Because there should have been a full expectation that he was going to spew a lot of negative and hostile things and convoluted nonsense, because that's what he's been doing of late. Well, he's been doing it for a long time, but he's been doing it he's escalated the whole situation lately. And so they could anticipate, you know, very, very reliably, they could anticipate that he was going to come on the show and start talking a whole lot of hateful nonsense, racist, anti-Semitic, self-loathing, anti-Black nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, so they can anticipate that. However, okay, let's say they didn't do that and they said, well, we'll give him a chance, even though we know pretty much what he's going to do. Maybe he, in view of all the negative feedback, maybe he's changed his mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, or maybe he's had, you know, been going to therapy or on his meds or whatever the case may be. And maybe he's doing better. Maybe mm-hmm. he's in more stable mental health. Mm-hmm. If that is even a factor. And I think it is. In any event, what they should have done and they have the right to do is that if and when he started all those hateful, nonsensical and sort of lunatic rantings, cut it, take it off. You know what I mean? Just cut it, edit it out, or take it completely off. Mm-hmm. It should not have been where, because it's not live, or they could have had it not live, you know, either way.
It was not live.
Right. Okay. So they had the opportunity to totally go in and edit out or totally scrap the whole thing if it wasn't salvageable. So that should have been the other thing. The first thing would have been the first choice, in my opinion, the best choice would have been not to deal with Kanye at all, because knowing what he's going to do. Okay. But the second choice would have been, okay, you come on here with that nonsense, we're cutting it. Okay. And that's the way it should have went down as far as I'm concerned.
Well, a couple things that Nori said, because Nori talked to a couple, he talked to Hot 97. He talked to, of course, the Breakfast Club. And, you know, he went on there saying he didn't think that, you know, Kanye was going to do this. He says that.
Lie.
Right.
He did think he was going to do it. See, that annoys me. Don't start out with a lie. You could have, all he had to do was say, I hoped that he wasn't going to do it.
He also.
Don't say he didn't think he was going to do it, because he did think he was going to do it. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. He also. He also said that as a Black man, I feel like I failed as a human. I feel like I failed as a journalist. I feel like
a journalist now.
Let me repeat that. That's not correct. I said it wrong. He says, I feel like I failed as a human. I feel like I failed as a Black man. As a journalist, I feel like I succeeded. Now, I don't agree with that. Like you said, I don't think of him as a journalist. To me, he is not a journalist. To me, he is a good podcast host. It is light and easygoing. And that's the lane that he should stay in. And he should not bring people on his show who he knows people are telling, well, there's a lot of pushback on him and that they've been spewing hate for years. Not Nori, but yes.
Oh, Nori. You mean Kanye.
Kanye, right.
Well, yeah, of course.
Kanye and Nori, you know, he's sweet and he's likable, but he was going for his bottom line. He knew he would get like 2 million views from this. And
of course,
like it. So my thoughts are, I don't think that you're a journalist. We are not journalists.
And nor does anyone think of him as a journalist.
Right. And there's many people that host podcasts.
Well, you're a published author. Okay. I don't think Nori is.
Okay. Please.
What do you mean, my stop?
Because I'm saying, what I'm saying to you is that I am not a journalist and neither is he. And neither are many people that have a podcast.
Right.
Podcast is supposed to be real easygoing and lightweight.
It's talk. You know? It's us talking, period.
So I didn't like that. That really bothered me. So I don't know. I think his apology was kind of half, I don't want to say half-assed, but it was to me.
It was. It was totally disingenuous. Everybody know he was lying. Get out of here. Everybody know he was all about the bottom line. And right. That's okay. But, you know, be about it. Don't get up there talking about, oh, I didn't know. I didn't think you. That's expressly the reason you got him, because you did think he was going to talk fool talk and people were going to listen in. But he could have done two things. He could have had some integrity about it. He could have had him on there. And then, you know, he could have given him a shot to see where he was going to take it. Mm-hmm. And then when he went right off the rails, like, you know, people thought he was going to do, then he could say, no, we're going to have to edit that or either scrap the whole thing. And that's what I say. And he still would have had a lot of views because people would have tuned in to hear to see what it was, you know. So to me, he didn't do it with integrity. To me, he did not have any integrity. About him being a black man, I think he's going a bit too far. You know, it's nothing about him being a black man.
He's black when it's convenient for him. When it's not convenient, he's a white nationalist. So
I'm talking about Nori.
I'm sorry.
Listen, they're both black men, whatever they say. Yes, they are. Yes. You know, so it doesn't even matter about the rest of the stuff.
Okay. So since we're going to segue into somebody with integrity, since we're talking about, so Chris Cuomo actually interviewed Kanye he went in and he pushed Kanye on his, you know, racist, anti-Semitic, crazy ideologies. And that was the way to do it. If you're going to do it, I still stand
by. Chris Cuomo is a journalist.
He is a journalist.
A reporter. And so when he's not a podcaster, although he may have a podcast, who knows, but he's not known to be a podcaster.
Right. And so, his interview was the way you're supposed to do an interview, because Kanye needed to feel uncomfortable because he was just talking crap and just
absolutely. Nori was up there getting high and drunk and getting views. Man, go ahead, please.
So here's my issue, Ma. So you know that Kanye is in the process of buying
that parlor.
Parlor.
Mm-hmm. That's what he said. And he said he was en route to go meet with the people involved to buy a parlor.
Right. And Candace Owens' husband is the CEO of Parler. And
that's Parler a good, is that a makes
conservative,
sense.
Conservative social media platform.
Yes.
Allows you to say whatever you
any need. Type of hate speech, any type of racist speech, of course.
Correct.
Yes.
So my thing, Ma, is what do you think we need to do to change the narrative? Because do you think that
change what narrative?
Do you think that people should have a platform that allows you to spew hate? Because as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I know, hate speech is not illegal on these platforms. Unless you're a private company, then you can, you know, make your own rules. But not a private company, a public company. So I'm just a little bit concerned. You think that Congress needs to step in? Like, what are your thoughts on this with the whole
thing? You know, listen, we all know that speech can be very incendiary. We all know that speech can incite people to all types of behavior, specifically violent behavior. And that's our concern. And in this United States, which is loaded with nuts and guns. So, you know, we know it is not a good thing. Should it need to be regulated? No. But unfortunately, we have to regulate. We have to regulate if self-governing doesn't work. You understand? Then we need to regulate, and it's going to come down to that. And because what it is now is that these people always existed, but they existed in the quiet, in the dark. Now they've been emboldened with people like Trump and those of his ilk. And so now you just hear them. They've always been there, but it has escalated once again, and it's making people feel more and more uncomfortable and more unsafe. Mm-hmm. And it is not good. And it is not good. Not that you ever think that you're going to ever eradicate people from being, from being cruel, from being self-loathing, from hating other people. Not that you think you're going to ever totally eradicate that, but we need to let it be known loud and clear through self-governance would be the best way. But if not legislation, that this is not acceptable and this is not what we want for our quality of life and our standard of living in on the planet, but in particular in the United States. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm going to say yes, speech that is violent, speech that attacks anybody's, any protected group, any marginalized or, you know, previously marginalized group, or any group that is other than the majority group, you know, any speech like that should be prohibited any speech attacking anyone for the way they look, the way they dress, who they love, and on and on, and all these things that have nothing to do with anybody but themselves and or their families, you know, no, you know, that type of speech should be disallowed. I do think it should be regulated. I think it has gone too far. We do have regulation, but it's primarily in the form of self-governance and community governance. You know, if the community don't like it, if people doesn't like it, then we, you know, kick it to the curb or push it over or do this or do that. But we have not totally reached a point where we have disallowed and eradicated those type of platforms.
Okay, I mean, you dropped the mic.
I do think that.
I don't have anything further to add to that. So we can let's move on to somebody else that's in the news right now. You know, under different circumstances, Mr. Tom Brady has a podcast, and he actually had Kevin Durant on the podcast because today is the first day of the NBA. So So Tom Brady said he's finding it nearly impossible to focus on his personal life half of the year, explaining he feels the NFL seasons are similar to going away on deployment for the military. And he told KD that he had to struggle with his work-life balance and that, you know, he's 45 years old now, obviously. And it's hard for him to focus on football and his personal life. He says he always finds himself buried in the job instead. I almost look at like a football season, like if you're going away on deployment for the military, and it's like, man, here I go again. The reality is you can really only be authentic to yourself, right? Whatever you may say, man, I want to know, make sure I spend a lot more time during the season. The reality is when it comes down to it, your competitiveness takes over. And as much as you want to have this playful balance with the work balance, you're going to end up doing exactly what you always done, which is why you are who you are. And so obviously we know there's a lot of stuff going on with him and Giselle, reportedly, that they both hired attorneys, divorce attorneys. Does this shed any light into what's going on with Tom Brady to you, Ma? And do you—
Yes, it's just this compulsion.
Let me just say this. Do you think that he has regrets about playing this year, about—
No, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear any regret. He has a compulsion, which is what makes him great. He follows his— he is who he is.
Well, you know, he went to Robert Kraft's wedding.
Right. That's football. Robert Kraft is the owner of the Patriots or whoever.
He's no longer a Patriot.
I know that, but he was one for so many years. It's still football. Look, he is who he is. Look, okay, I don't know what you're trying to force me to say. I told you before what I thought about it and what I think about
it. Well, Mom.
He's still in football. Robert Kraft is a football owner, football team owner. He was a Patriot for years. He went to the party because Giselle is acting like she's not having it, and he's looking for him another football wife. And he knows that those women there are looking for a football husband, and who is the greatest? Tom Brady. He's not worried. He's preparing for his retirement. You know, retirement from everything.
You don't think that he's upset, Ma? He looks—
No.
He lost weight.
He's been running around. You know, when you get to running like that, and you know how it is when you get all— it's starting a new relationship. You know how you always try to get yourself thin. You know, you always thinner when you try to impress somebody.
No, Ma, he doesn't look like he's healthy. Like, he doesn't look like Tom Brady.
He'll get it together when he quits partying so much.
Okay, so never mind. I'm going to move on.
Tom Brady's been doing just what he wants to do because that's what he feels that he should do. And he is not regretful, nothing. He just didn't know whether Giselle, how long she would take it or not. He is not worried. Did he look worried to you partying? At Robert Kraft, did he look worried to you? I'm telling you, he's taking out wife number two.
He seems like he's being very selfish and that some things
I don't want to go seem like he
want to go into his private life like that.
You don't have to go into nothing. You could see what's up. You could see he was out without Giselle. You could see he didn't care what they was doing on the football field. He's planning his other after play football life. It's still football, but he just won't be on the field. Oh, he's not playing. He's going over there with the owner. Probably getting ready to own something himself, football team. Please, please, Tommy. Look, he already told you it. You got to be true to yourself, and that's what he's doing. And he's not worrying about it.
Good, Ma.
No, he's not. And I'm not worried about him or Giselle.
I can tell. Okay, so let me move on to another couple, an ex-couple that has been in the news.
Oh, gee.
Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde have addressed
that. Oh, nobody care about them. Get out of here.
What are they doing now?
They're not even together. Did they have a baby together, child?
They have two children together. They've been together for years.
Are you sure it's two? Okay, yes. Whatever.
Okay. So Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde have addressed the allegations by their former
people, Do people know who Jason Sudeikis is?
Ted Lasso.
He's Ted Lasso. Yeah, I know you think he's also known by his name. He's better known by Ted Lasso. Go ahead.
And Olivia Wilde is on House and she's dating Harry Styles now. And she happens to be a little bit older than him, which is good. Go, girl. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, go right on to hell, girl.
And she's a director. And
Isn't that the picture that there was a lot of static on and all that? Yeah, all right. Go ahead.
So they address the issues that the former nanny alleged, and they're saying that, you know, what she said wasn't true.
What did the nanny say?
Listen, as parents, it's incredibly upsetting to learn that a former nanny of our two young children would choose to make false accusations about us publicly. And they claim Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde said this has been going on for 18 months. So the nanny claims that the split left Sudeikis just out of control, crying, adding that he was going to get her back and he loved her. The nanny claimed that things got really bad in November 2020 when Olivia Wilde made a salad for Harry in the family's kitchen, and Sudeikis chased after her and laid under her car so she wouldn't leave to go see Harry Styles. The nanny claimed.
Well, he is a comedian. He might have been writing a comedy skit. I mean, he was on Saturday Night Live.
Manny claimed that Olivia Wilde told Sudeikis she was scared of him during the encounter. And then he said, if you're so scared, why would you leave me with your children?
Well, then that's true. I agree with all that. He might have been doing a comedy bit or something. I don't think he was that worried. And then, wait a minute, then how does he know the salad was for Harry Styles? Maybe she just was going somewhere and wanted to take a snack with her. How does he know who the hell what the salad was for? He shouldn't even be, and then he should have been minding his damn business. Why the woman can't make a salad in her own kitchen? He's too controlling. And why are you running out chasing me? I can't leave out my house with a salad? Oh, damn. No wonder I would have left him too. I would have broke off with his ass too. When you ever see a man tell a woman she can't make a salad? She can't go for a ride. He gonna go. How many times a man ever run out and go under your car when you get ready to go for a little ride? That's crazy. He don't know where the hell she was going and who the salad was for.
I think that Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde are telling the truth that this nanny just made up a story.
Hey, I wouldn't even care. If I had a man that crazy, I would get the hell away from him. Now, you can't be telling me what to make or where to go or what to do. You don't even know what you're talking about. You know where I'm going. Did I tell you I'm going to see my man? Hey, Jason, I'm going to see my man. Here's the salad I'm making him. I mean, how many people would even tell you that? How do you know? That nanny is lying. Either that nanny is lying or Jason was doing something for one of his shows he's getting ready to write or something. Because they got him on that show making, know how he makes those little cookies or biscuits or something?
Oh, he does, right?
Every morning. So he might have made up that shit to go on. We might see that on Ted Lasso and something coming up. You know,
All right, I think that was, to me, when I heard this,
yeah, like, that's fake. Something in there is fake or fantasy or something.
That's fake.
That nanny oversaw or overheard him coming up with a comedy skit. There ain't no way that shit is real.
And you know what?
Unless he drink and use drugs more than we think he does. Ain't no way that's real.
And I saw Olivia Wilde in person, and she seemed to be like a very sweet person. So, you know, without going into detail or anything like that. And she seemed really nice. So
it ain't how she seemed, it's how they're making him seem.
Okay. So Bob, let's move on. I need you to tell me, out of pocket or on the money? So, you know, Meghan Markle has her new podcast, Archetypes, in which this episode she welcomed Paris Hilton to break down the bimbo stereotype.
All right.
So, you know, she's talked about how she was on Deal or No Deal, and she said the show wasn't
much. Who was on Deal or No Deal?
Meghan Markle.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Paris Hilton.
No.
Okay.
Back in the day, I think it was
2011. Yeah.
And she said it wasn't much about acting, which she was pursuing, but she was grateful to have a job to pay bills while she was auditioning. And she said she had studied international relations in college. And mm-hmm. there were many times she was on set at Deal or No Deal and thinking back to her time working as an intern at the U.S. Embassy in Argentina. And she said that she felt that she wasn't being valued for, you know, her brains. It was specifically
with Deal or No Deal or working for at the embassy. I mean, come on,
at Deal or No Deal, she felt she was comparing.
But it's not a job that required you to be brainy.
This is what she said. She said that before the tapings of the show, the models would line up for different stations, lashes, extensions, bra padding. And the women were also given spray tan vouchers every week. She says there was a very cookie cutter idea of precisely what we should look like. It was solely about beauty and right. not necessarily about brains. Okay, so she goes, whatever. So right. Mom, is she out of pocket or on the money with her assessment of this whole Deal or No Deal situation?
I mean, I'm not understanding it, but when she took the job, she knew it was not anything about brain.
Exactly.
She's up there carrying a suitcase with money in it or whatever they did.
Correct.
And that's all there. I mean, there was literally no input. I don't know. Did they even talk?
And she said she eventually quit the show. She, you know, because.
Well, is that her complaint? That she realized doing it was something that required little skill? Is so that her complaint?
Have not seen the podcast. I guess not listened to the podcast. Maybe if we listen to
it. Well, what is it that she asked me if, is she out of pocket about? Because if that's what she's saying, then of course it is. And she knew that when she took the job.
Well I'm asking you, you know, what does she expect? You know, making
it. Well, I think if she's saying she recognized that it was such a brainless job that she just really didn't even want to do it mm-hmm. once she took it. I guess that's what she's saying. You know, I'm hoping that's what she's saying.
He also says, I didn't like being forced to be all looks and little substance. And, you know, that's how it felt for her at the time, being reduced.
Okay, so she knew it, but when she actually got into it, she felt differently about it. She had to know it going in. Anybody would know it, you know, just from looking at the show. So when she actually experienced it, she didn't like it. You know, she felt belittled or undervalued.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I think if that's what she's saying, if my interpretation is right, mm-hmm. Okay, that's my sense of it. If that's right, then she's on the money, you know, and that's not the type of show for her.
Well, here's my thing. I think she was out of pocket because I hear everything that she says, except you know, you took the job for money. You took, when you're acting and when you're trying to get your big break, you take a lot of different jobs that you wouldn't normally take because okay. you need something to pay the bills. You want to be
covered. I think she's saying she did all that and realized that she didn't like it. And she it was like worse than she thought it was going to be. I mean, she's got to be saying something like that, because who couldn't see you just dress up in a short dress or whatever the hell it is and carry a suitcase? Who couldn't see that that didn't require anything? Mm-hmm. Who couldn't see that? There's no other thing she could have thought. But she didn't know how it felt when she did it. Then she saw how she really felt doing that. And she said, you know, I can still do better than this, even though I'm broke or whatever, you know. Well, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know.
To me, when you take a job, when you take a modeling job, it's about the aesthetics. So,
And she knows that. She knows that it's a meat market. And she knew that totally. And it doesn't mean, and that job in particular is worse than many of them, because some of them, there is some interaction, you know, maybe with the audience or this or that, but not really that one at all. Did Claudia Jordan do that?
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad job at all. I think it, you know, it's a respectable job. You're making money. You're not hurting anybody. You're not doing anything immoral. I just don't see an issue with it. And
I think she wanted to act more, and she just got frustrated when she got in that job and saw she wasn't doing any real acting at all, and it wasn't leading to what she thought it was going to lead to. I think she got disappointed when she got in the job. She knew what it was, but was hoping that she was going to feel differently or get different opportunity from it. You know, I think that's what happened, because otherwise, I'm like you, she had to know what she was doing. And like you say, it is a respectable job. It just might not be what she had was hoping for, you know, but she had an unrealistic expectation and she was being naive if it was anything else she thought, because you could see what it was. They never presented it to be anything different.
Mm-hmm. Without seeing the podcast, without listening to the podcast, it sounds out of pocket to me, but I want to listen to it in its entirety and then I can better judge. So, okay. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, I co-signed on what you said completely. I co-sign on what you said. I'm just trying to interpret what you're saying to me. Okay.
So did you hear about James Corden, you know, being banned from Balthazar?
From where?
Balthazar.
What?
Balthazar, the restaurant.
I know that, but what happened?
Oh, well, you know, apparently he was mean to the staff.
You know what I mean. That's just a term of endearment.
So the owner of the restaurant referred to him as a tiny cretin of a man who had been abusive to the servers.
Oh, wow.
And then the owner, you know, rescinded the ban because James Corden called back to apologize. There was an instance where Corden found hair in his food. And obviously, you know, that's not cool, but it happens occasionally in restaurants. They, you know, made the food over for him and apologized. But Corden said, get us another round of drinks this second, and also take care of all our drinks so far. And
whose hair was it? It might have been Corden's hair.
This way I won't write, I know, any nasty reviews and Yelp or anything like that. Then he went out with his wife, and his wife ordered some type of egg yolk omelet. And apparently there was a little bit of egg white mixed with the egg yolk. And that was a big issue. And also they remade it, and somebody made a mistake and said home fries instead of salad. And James Corden went off and was yelling at the server saying, you can't do your job. Maybe I should go in the kitchen and cook the omelet myself. And, you know, just they brought him champagne. So
James Corden is nasty to staff, wait staff.
Right.
And he treats the people who make less money than him badly.
Yes. And apparently he had a history of doing that at this, the owner's, another restaurant a few years earlier. And apparently Corden has this reputation. So my question to you, Mom, Would you ever ban anyone from a restaurant that you own? What would they have to do in order? Yes.
There's a number of things they could do. There's so many. I can't even think of everything. They could be rude. They could be aggressive. They can not be properly attired. Well, they would have to totally be almost naked for that to happen. But, you know, they could be dirty and stinky, really offensively, and offend my other people. Because there's no reason for it. Because if that's the case, if they're homeless or anything, I'll just put their food in a bag and give it to them and go ahead. They can't be, no, because I need to make money in my place of business now, you know, no. So, but I would give them some food. I would give them some good food. I would do that. For homeless people. But yes, I would ban James Corden if I saw him coming, because he's already got a bad look. You ain't gonna be in here harassing my staff and harassing my clientele, you know, my patrons coming here to have a nice fun and food and drinks, and I'm not having you with a whole lot of whoop-de-woo causing a disturbance. Right. And having people look at my food sideways just because you and your wife are complaining. No, you go ahead. You're one money, and you're probably not even a good tipper. One order is not even worth it, although you probably eat a lot, but your one order is not even worth it. Nope, I would ban him. If I find out, if he make reservations and use his name, nope.
You know what's so funny to me, Ma, is that, you know, you would think that he's a nice guy because he always comes across as being really sweet and nice. And
I don't think nothing. That's a fake persona.
Right. And maybe we don't know. Maybe
he may be very nice. Maybe that's just one thing that he's nasty about. But you asking me as a restaurant owner, are there certain people in certain situations I would ban? Listen, sometimes nice people can get banned because, look, you could be a very nice person, but say you drink, you know, a little bit, and you are celebrating and you drink a little much, you could be very nice, but you could be bothering the other patrons.
Oh, yeah.
You could be bothering other people. Hey, sir. You doing it, but you could just be bothering other people because you drunk and they don't want to be bothered with you, you know, but you're playing and you're fine. Yeah, but you're drunk and other people don't know. You understand? There's a lot of reasons that you will tell people, go ahead on home or go out the restaurant.
Well, look, Ma, they brought up the clips of him saying that he didn't know his own camera operators on his late show. So that's not the name of them. So that's not good. So I hope that this stuff isn't true about him. But the restaurant owner now has, like I said, rescinded.
Doesn't he still have a show?
He does, but he's supposed to be leaving the show sometime next year, if I'm not mistaken. But he's still.
But he, all his pockets is stuff. And why is he leaving? Must be leaving of his own volition.
Yeah.
He's planning it. Well, he's got money. He's doing good.
Yeah. So keep it. But James, if this is true, please be nice to servers and, you know, people that work in restaurants.
Who's being nice to servers?
No, I'm saying if this is true about James, please, moving forward, be nice to restaurant servers and restaurant staff. That's not cool.
Just be nice in general to people, and you.
Oh yeah, of course.
Nice across the board, and we won't have this.
And you know, my truth.
Yeah, I'd ban them real quick.
I'm not gonna be mean to people that fix my food, but I'll leave that alone. All right. Okay. So.
Did anything to his food? He's just overreacting. That's all.
Yes, that is true, man. So, on another light note, on a funny note, Cam'ron, you remember Cam'ron?
The singer, a rapper.
The rapper boy.
Yes, oh, right. Boy. Yeah, I remember.
So he shot his shot
about 15 years ago.
He shot his shot.
Or longer. That song might be 20 years old.
So you really are just ignoring me.
No, I'm sorry. What'd you say? He shot himself.
No. What? He shot his shot with Nia Long.
He shot his shot. You mean he tried to appeal to her?
Yes, he DM'd her on Instagram.
Oh, and
yes, you know the language. You know,
yes, I do. He's an admirer of hers.
Yes, he said, "Hey, Stink, I was giving you some time."
Hey, Stink, I don't like that language.
till I reached out.
I know it's supposed to be affectionate, but that does not sound good.
I don't want anybody calling me stinky.
No, I don't like it, even if it's a joke.
Right. Your perseverance as a strong Black woman through this turbulent time has been something to behold. You shouldn't be taken advantage of and exploited, as you did nothing to deserve this, especially all over these sports networks. You're bigger and better than that. You're a queen. And by the way, I'm a king. Together, right, we can achieve the greatness we were both destined for as a couple.
And he's wonderful.
French. She's speaking French, whatever he's saying. One life to live. Pardon my French, laugh out loud. As I sit here sipping gazpacho and watching the best man, I was inspired to reach out because that's what I am, the best man for you. Hope to hear from you soon, Mia Moore, or should I say Nia Moore. I leave you with this. The most difficult thing is the decision to act. The rest is merely technical. Until the next time the sun rises and moon falls. Would you have responded?
Oh, the sun rises and the moon falls. Oh, boy. He's really romantic. Yes, I would answer him back. Dear Cameron, Mia Moore, what have you been doing in the last 20 years? Have you been a hermit? Have you been la recluse? I have not heard from you. Are you still making money? Can you afford to take me out?
Good.
Get back in touch. So let me know what's up.
Maybe they can have the plant cactus meals, plant-based cactus meal from McDonald's. No, not plant-based. What is it? The
cactus flower? Whatever.
Happy meal.
I would ask him what he's been doing for the last 20 years and tell him I haven't heard about him, and I hope he's well, and you know, hope his pockets are still stuffed, and if he's doing well enough, maybe we can go out. You know, can would I date be at Nobu or would I date be at Le McDonald? Let me know which one. That's it.
So, Ma, do you think it's a good idea to ask someone out publicly? Now, mind you, he sent it to her. Wait, listen, Ma. He sent it to her DMs, and then she didn't respond, so he blasted it on Instagram.
Well, that's good.
This is me asking, Naomi knows best. Do you think it's...
You didn't say that. Now you gotta slip it in. Okay. Yes, I think it's wonderful. I think he's a confident man. That would appeal to me. I would want to know about his Duquettes, though, you know, because he hasn't been around in a while. But really and truly, yes, that all jokes aside, that would intrigue me. You know, that you are so bold to ask me that way after I ignored your DMs. Okay, so you're a little bit persistent. Mm-hmm. You would get my ear with that. Yes, because you were willing to come out there and be rejected. You know, you didn't say, I'm not going to do this. She may reject me. I might get shot down. I'm not going to, you know, you just came on out there with it. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And I love that. And I would, I'm not saying it would go anywhere. I don't know about all that because I don't know what's up with him. But I'd respond to that. I like that. I would respond to that. And you was, in my corner and you showed concern and care for me when, you know, I was going through a little public thing with this EME over there, you know. Yeah. I'd respond to that. We could at least go out and have, cocktails or, you know.
I would think the person is confident. I wouldn't mind if someone would do that. Not now.
Exactly what
it's
I said.
Not appropriate now. But,
you mean not with you,
not with me, right?
Yeah. What you mean, not now? You know, you
no,
mean
I me. Meant not
it's
with
maybe
me.
Appropriate right now for Nia. Now it's good it is, for her. Yeah. Now it's good. Yeah, I'd respond to him,
and they could do the same for you, Ma.
Would you, huh?
So, what? No, they could. What if they did that? So, you're okay if they do that for you, right?
What do you mean,
any listeners that want to?
It depends. Okay. It depends on how I'm approached.
Okay.
It depends on how I'm approached.
Okay.
Now, if you, you know, it depends. I'm a woman of a certain age. So, you know, you need to be coming to me with only adult children. with, you know, stable, significant income, you know, you need to be coming, you know, with something to offer, you know, some nice experiences ahead that we can share, you know, places we can go, things we can do. You need to be stepping correct. You can't come, to me, a man in my general age category, and I'll go 10 years younger, 10 years older. You know, you can't come to me in my general category and have babies, minor children, and 58 baby mamas and all this here. No, that's out of the question. Because a lot of older men have young kids, and no, you can't step to me with that. Let's say your grandkids, for which you are not responsible, but you know, no. You come to me correct, and you come to me with confidence. If you send something to my DM and I ignore it, and then you come publicly and, you know, outright with it, I'll pay attention to that. I would pay attention to, I'd see what's going on with that. Mm-hmm. I might even travel. You know, I mean, meet up with you, you know, depending on where, you know, what the circumstances are. Because, you know, it could be, you know, could be one of my friends maybe from, you know, Canada or, you know, something.
Okay.
Or a friend from North America, North of the United States, Northeast, Eastern part of the United States. Yeah, it just depends. You got to come correct. Yeah. Okay, I'm wrapping it up.
All right. Well,
but I like that. I like what he did, Nia. You know, give it a look. You can't do much worse. You can't make a much worse decision than you've been making, wasting all this time with email over there. So, I don't mean wasting, but I mean not coming to the conclusion that you wanted to come to, I don't think.
Okay. The other topic that I wanted to throw at you, Ma, and this is, you know, a quick one. You know, like I said, the NBA season is starting today as we are recording. Are you excited about it? And who do you think is going to go to the NBA finals?
I'm very excited about it. And there's only one person that I really want to go to the NBA finals.
And who was that?
And that's the person who just really hardly has anything else to prove. But that would have to be Bronny's father.
No, LeBron.
Yeah. I love LeBron. Now, listen, I do love LeBron, but I'd be happy for any of those guys to get something, you know? I mean, they're also so broke and, you know, have such good opportunity. I mean, you know, it's just sad to think about them.
They're all very wealthy.
I tell you who I would like to see just go and go retire and go make another team miserable. And that's my man on the Nets. Oh, my goodness. Make another team miserable. Well, no, all jokes aside, you know LeBron, he's my favorite person that plays basketball. He's my favorite basketball player.
You like Steph?
He's all right. Okay. He's all right. You know, he's just all right. I'm not, you know, he's just all right. To me, he was to the manner born. You got me? So he's just all right. I like him when they came up the rough side of the mountain and did good, you know? It's easier to do good when you're surrounded by good. It's a lot easier, you know?
Yeah.
And he's been well supported, you know, and I don't know about now, but, you know, well, now he has a different kind of support because he still has a wife and kids and parents, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, you know.
And he has, you know, his siblings.
And he has his brother. Yeah. So, you know, He's you know, had it pretty good, you know, let's be honest, whatever type of relationship, he's had them all in his life. So he's had it pretty good. LeBron has had other support, but not that kind of support.
LeBron has been very wealthy for more than half his life. He's good now. He's all right.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about LeBron.
Oh, no, listen, I'm just talking about who I think has developed, you know, against the odds. Of course, LeBron has been wonderful. That's another reason I love him, because he's been, you know, and he is still good now. I know he's not perfect. I mean, he's bound to do something outrageous, because they all do at some point. But, you know, but he's all right. He's been handling his handle for a long time. Yeah, And Steph is all right, but anyhow, and LeBron is even right now still more proactive in terms of social justice and stuff like that. Still LeBron is like a few steps ahead of them.
Yeah, he is.
Few steps ahead of the crowd, you know. So
we'll see what happens with the Nets this year, with KD and Kyrie and.
I'm so sick of them. And I'm so sick of KD just not developing as a full human being. KD, what are you? We don't care what you are, but be something. Why are you just nothing? Why nobody even know what you are?
Well, we don't know. He's real good friends with Tom Brady.
He's
real good friends, apparently, with Tom Brady.
What that mean? I mean, is that your man? What do you mean? Is that your romance? I don't care. We don't care. No, but you're talking about I'm talking about his romantic life.
Oh, no, that's not what
I know something about everybody else. You know, if they this or that or fluid or liquid or solid or to the left or to the right or up or down or he, she, we, hit they, all this. We know everything about everybody.
And most
people are all around the world doing everything any damn way. But why we don't know nothing about you doing anything, KD? I'm sick of you. You know, if you got a man, a woman, a cat,
maybe
a dog,
a
rabbit, you ain't got nothing. We don't know nothing about you. Just a fool. Every time we see you, just a fool.
Ma.
He is.
Leave him alone with his private life. Maybe he's just like a quiet person.
Ain't nothing that quiet. Everybody, let me tell you something, baby. Everybody likes something, okay? Why we don't know what he likes.
And well, most people on House of the Dragon, maybe
most people like multiple things, okay? So why won't we know what he likes?
Mom, maybe he's like the guy on House of the Dragon, which we'll talk about in the next episode.
Okay. But guess what? But we know about House of the Dragon. We know that he's out there, okay? Why we don't know about KD?
All right, well, we'll see. You know, I like KD, but I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, don't act like you aren't curious. We're all curious. Curious minds want to know, what's up, KD? Come on now, be what you're going to be. What you hiding and acting all strange for?
I don't care what he does in his personal life.
Yes, you do. We all do. Yes, you do. I do, KD. I want to know what you do and who you doing it with. Yeah, what's up, KD?
Go ask people that, because then they want to get in your business too.
When I make millions and billions of dollars and I'm on the TV screen and I'm up here influencing people and being a role model and doing this and doing that, then they can ask me. And guess what? They can ask me now because I can answer. Okay? They can ask me now and I can answer.
Okay.
And I got a history and people could look up my record, at least a couple of my marriages. People could look that up. Okay? This man have no record and no history. If they can't see what I do now.
Well, what does it matter what he does?
We got whole shows based on talking about people's relationship. Come on now, you being disingenuous. We do care about people's relationships.
No, but if you
got to finish talking about Tom and Giselle.
Yes, but that's different.
And Olivia Wilde
It's different. If you don't want to disclose your personal information, then that's different. But if you get married
or KD, that's my daughter. Okay. This is the mother. What's up?
Okay.
Like Stormy from Love and Marriage and Husband.
Mom, please.
What's up?
Some people may not even know what you're talking about.
Just, I explained it to them. A lot of our listeners know Stormy.
Stormy
has a beautiful ranch. Oh, her and her husband have a magnificent.
Ma, what is it? Beautiful. You want to tell people
what's up?
Okay, all right.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Anyway, Ma, did you want to tell anybody anything? Did you want to tell the listeners anything before we go? Before you get us in trouble?
Go vote, and if anybody has anything they want to comment on KD, drop it in my DM. What's up? What's up, KD?
Thanks, guys, for listening to the Bambushi Happy Hour. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Bambushi Happy Hour, and also All Things Peju. Email us on info@bambushihappyhour.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at All Things Peju, the home of the Bambushi Happy Hour, guys. We really appreciate you guys. Be safe and like
early voting has started in some states, guys. Early voting starts next Monday in the state of Texas. Everybody check it out. Go vote early if you can.
Yes, okay. Like I said, go vote, guys. Bye.
Bye.